Welcome to the A to Z of Sex with me, Dr. Lori Beth. I'm an intimacy coach and psychologist. I created this show to explore the erotic alphabet, to help you learn more about desire and expressing your desires, discover ways to spice up your relationship and create that sizzling relationship you've always wanted. I do this through solid science, real life stories, and interviews with an exciting variety of sexperts. Listen in weekly as I share key strategies to help you create your ideal sexual life. Make sure you join us to access even more sexual strategies on my blog, A to Z of Sex. Access our monthly newsletter with subscriber-only offers at www.atozofsex.com. That's A-T-O-Z-O-F-S-E-X. Welcome to the A to Z of Sex. I'm Dr. Lori Beth, and I am your host. We are working our way through the erotic alphabet one letter at a time. Just a reminder, this podcast deals with adult content. So if you don't have total privacy, you might want to put on some headphones. And today the letter is H, and H is for either handicapped or sexually challenged sex. You may not be aware, but there are tons of people who have handicaps or injuries or illnesses that prevent them from having sexual intercourse and or interfere with their sexual function. They still have desire and they still want intimate relationships. They still want to feel sexy and they don't want to feel like they're constantly pressured to have straightforward intercourse. So dating can be an absolute minefield if their challenge isn't obvious. Joining me today is Laura Brashear, and she's the sexy, sexually challenged visionary behind RomanceOnly.com, the world's premier adult dating website for individuals who are incapable of sexual intercourse. A stage 4 cancer survivor whose treatments ultimately render her unable to ever again experience penetrative intercourse, Laura B. has been an inspiration to the millions like her who face a unique set of challenges in the pursuit of romantic partnerships. Featured on such popular programs as The Today Show and Good Morning America, as well as in several major publications, including Time Magazine and The Huffington Post, Laura B. has begun a sex-see revolution, proving that meaningful, loving relationships complete with incredible emotional and physical intimacy are indeed possible and often deeper outside of traditional intercourse. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So, I mean, this is a subject that people often don't talk about. And one that I feel is particularly important because to a greater or lesser degree, menopause and following menopause can produce just that on it, its own can make intercourse nigh on impossible.
Yes.
For some women, the pain just doesn't go away. And so they find themselves having to adapt to a completely different set of challenges. So I was really thrilled to find out that there's actually a resource available that kind of gets rid of some of the awkwardness. So everybody knows what's happening when they come to this website, don't they?
Yes, they do. For whatever reason, it doesn't need to be an illness or an injury. It could just be a preference. Mm-hmm. There's so many reasons why, but like you just had mentioned before, it's just not something that people talk about. And it's just trying to open up that conversation however we can. And it's great that to have you and the work that you're doing so that people can open up and not be upset that they cannot participate. Because you can participate, because sexuality and being sexy isn't just about intercourse.
There's so much more, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
So what kinds of things would you say to somebody who finds themselves newly in this position, having recovered from the emotional shock, but now wanting to go back into the dating world?
Well, you just have to be open. You don't have to necessarily disclose why, but coming to Romance Only and just putting yourself out there. I know it's really hard for people to post a picture on the World Wide Web so that they know that you are this person labeled that cannot have intercourse. I think that's, you know, trying to get people to be brave and just, you know, try and look at it as an intimate place that, you know, you can find a relationship and leave that off the table. That last 5 minutes of a date of when am I going to tell them is just, it doesn't happen for me. And I feel like I'm pretty brave. So there's a lot of people out there that are very happy. And yet there's a lot of people out there that will check in on the site and then they just run away. You know, they're just not ready to be open and be brave about this whole concept.
For so many people, particularly heterosexual people, but not entirely, because a lot of gay folks enjoy their own penetrative sex, and they can also have these sorts of difficulties. But absolutely, we have so been conditioned into the idea to equate intercourse with sex. So often people don't really consider the wide range that's available to them. And often, for example, foreplay is something that happens, you know, just so they can get to the main result. So I spend a lot of time with people talking about having outer course.
Yes.
Instead of intercourse.
Yes, I have definitely explored that whole concept. And, you know, I think in the Western culture, we are exactly that. It's just about intercourse. And, you know, it's such a minimal amount of time because we're in such a hurry to get on with life, which, you know, many thousands of years ago in tantric sex and other cultures, it's more about the journey, not about the quickness of the act. You know, it's enjoying each other physically, emotionally, conversation and stuff that is outer course. It's can make you actually a little bit more intimate, I think.
What do you think leads to the deeper level of intimacy?
I think just that vulnerability of being in the moment and talking about it and exploring sexuality or the other person's body and you know, everybody's different on what feels good where and if they're ticklish or if they're not. Some people don't like to kiss. Some people, you know, there's a whole thing to explore as opposed to just going through the motions of the joy of sex and following the book and the postures and you don't need any of that. You just kind of, hopefully one person however many people you choose to incorporate, has creativity, you know, and finds what makes that other person's eyes light up, you know, it could just be, intellectual stimulation, you know, mm-hmm. A lot of women, they say, how do you make love to a woman? And it's through her mind, you know, so everybody's different and it's a great place to explore and feel comfortable. I think that's just the hardest thing. I've listened to you and that's it. It's feeling comfortable with who you are, your sexuality and exploring it. People don't talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, that remains a theme that goes throughout both my shows because it's my experience both personally and professionally is that that's the biggest hurdle for people is to actually gain real comfortable, a real sense of comfort and real integration, congruence, and be able to say, this is me, this is the authentic me. And I know that when people have experienced physical challenges that change their sexual view of themselves, it hits so terribly deeply.
Yes.
I think a lot of people aren't aware of that. They think, you know, like if somebody loses a leg, they can understand how that's life changing.
Right.
But if somebody can no longer have intercourse because they've had cancer and they've had body parts removed or because things are just too painful or because they've been in an accident, whatever it is, people think that that's much easier to adjust to when actually, in my view, because our sexual identity is so important to the way in which we see ourselves and the way in which we interact romantically and our deepest connections, that can be even harder to kind of come back from and to manage. That kind of change is such a monumental change.
It's a huge, and it was for me too, because it's something you've never been forced to think about. You know, you viewed yourself as a person of and maybe not even really thought about it too much. It's just an emotion and an action you did, and now that's taken away from you. So all the things that you grew to have an interaction with someone and try and feel sexy and have a little bit of conversation is completely different, because you can't joke in the same way. You can't, because you have this hurdle that, you know, it's like, well, when do I tell him? Do I wait so he really likes me, or or do I just say it straight out the gate for fear of losing that person? You know, I mean, we all try to put our best foot forward, and that doesn't feel like your best foot forward.
And it's so interesting too, because it's often about that fear of losing somebody that you've grown attached to. But it's funny, because people who have kinks will also have the same conversation. I get repeatedly asked, or who are polyamorous, anybody whose sexuality is perceived by the culture as different from the norm.
Yes.
I will get asked the question over and over again, when's the right time to tell someone? And I always say the same thing, early. Right? It may seem weird, but
yes,
you don't want to get attached to someone,
right,
and have them project all these things onto you, only to discover that you're not who they thought you were.
Exactly. And it's that fear of rejection, you know? I mean, nobody likes that, and you know, especially if you're really attracted to them, but you have to be fair about it. For some people, it's a deal breaker. For other people, it's not. And you can't, as I say, you can't tell by looking at somebody what their sexual orientation is. You know, I mean, I don't look like there's anything wrong with me. When people find out, they're like, well, I would have never guessed. But you can't tell by looking at someone. You do have to have a conversation. And
so how did you end up deciding to start this site?
Because I couldn't say on the date, I couldn't say it. I couldn't say it. Sorry, I hope you really like me, but you know, I can never have intercourse with you. It's like, how do you say that to somebody? So I never did. So I just didn't tell anybody, and I kept busy. And then I thought, geez, there's everything on the internet. I wonder if there's a dating site, and there wasn't. And I just, I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting idea. And I had so many complications, and I was sick for so long, and it was a very, very long recovery for me. And I just really didn't know if I wanted to date. I didn't know if I wanted to do that. And then I thought, well, what am I supposed to be giving back? What was I supposed to learn that this happened to me? You know, I didn't die. Like, I'm supposed to be doing something with this. I need to figure out what it was. And it sort of just all came together with me. And I thought, you know what, that's my deal, because it is something nobody talks about. And I consider myself pretty open, but I wasn't saying anything to anybody. So that was sort of how it happened.
Well, that is so personal. Right? I mean, it is so personal. And often also, because if I'm going to tell you something like that, then I know the next question is why.
Yes.
And the next question is why? Tell me your story. And, you know, you may, and this may sound strange, but you may be willing to be considering intimacy with somebody much earlier than you're willing to share your entire emotional life story.
Yes.
And so, and if we're talking about the idea of making sure you say something before you get attached, then that's definitely true. So, you know, I can see how much more difficult it might be, because you don't want that second question. You might be able to get the courage up to say, listen, I've got some physical stuff. I can't have traditional intercourse.
Yes.
But I don't want to tell you why, you know,
just,
you know, I don't want to go into that story. I don't want to open myself to that level at this point.
Yes. And that's a perfect option. Absolutely. It is a very personal thing. And maybe on down the line, when you're just trying to get to know somebody, you decide, he's not for me, or she's not for me. And you have not disclosed that personal information, you know? So it's there are all kinds of options to share or not share. But I think the more open and brave we are, we find that other people consider us really authentic, and really, they actually almost really like you more, because it is so personal. You almost feel closer a little bit. It might seem kind of interesting, but it's when you share something really personal, I don't know. I like it. I feel closer to that person. So
I mean, really open. I mean, Brene Brown has talked at length, because she's done a ton of shame research, has talked at length about being vulnerable, and that taking that risk is always worth it, because being vulnerable and being authentic with another person allows for that real connection. But it is still quite frightening for most people. And not surprising that it's quite frightening.
Yes. Yeah, you actually invite them into yourself and into your world. And we're all very fragile. And the more we can kind of connect with that, as opposed to just trying to look good and look perfect, you know, I think it's just a human trait that we do. And when you're authentic and show yourself, why not? Especially as you get older, everyone's so different, especially at this day and age. It's such a blessing, because everyone is so much more open than they ever used to be. You know, when you look at your grandparents, it's like, my grandmother heard the word sex and was like, oh, you haven't talked about that word today.
Well, not everybody's grandparents were like that. Although I didn't find out a lot about my grandmother's views until much later in her life. Mm-hmm. I think that for me, that's one of the interesting things, is that I'm not sure that, I think we're more open culturally now. We're more open in public now. But I am reminded over and over again that there's nothing new under the sun when it comes to sex.
You know what? I have to agree. Yes, human beings are of the animal culture.
They sure are. And I always find it, I've always found it really amusing when I will be speaking to somebody who is over 80 about this topic, somebody who is willing to share at that point. And the filters are usually a bunch lower than they were when they were younger. And the things that they come out with, and it's only, you know, it's only the younger folk who get shocked.
Right? Oh, I have to say, I have a client, and her mom, or she had lost her dad. And her mom told her, she's, you know, the number one thing I miss is having sex every day. She's like, Mom, she's like, that's too much information. And she wouldn't have thought that. I mean, she goes, your dad and I had intercourse every day, and she was 80 something. You just don't think about it.
Yeah, no, that is another one as well, is this whole idea that sex stops at a particular age. And I do think that that's why things like the menopause and erectile dysfunction due to physical issues that arise out of aging. So not due to aging itself, but some of the prostate problems and things which may not necessitate the removal of the prostate, but it can cause some problems.
Yes.
Those things can become quite upsetting, because people don't feel like they are able to talk about that and to discuss that, because once they get to a certain age, the thing is, they think they're supposed to stop having sex. And the number of people I've spoken to over the years who thought that, you know, I would hear people say things, well, you know, I mean, I'm 50, and, you know, after that, like, really? Okay. Yeah, not the way I see it, or many other people. But it's sort of, again, that's another cultural thing. You know, once you get to a certain place, I remember listening to a woman talk about menopause and about how freeing it was. And for her, what was freeing was she never had to have sex again. And I didn't understand that connection. That made no sense to me. Whereas other women were talking about being able to have sex without various worries. She was saying she never had to have sex again. And in her world, you know, when you got to that place, that's what happened. It stopped. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have to have any reason other than the fact that she said, that time of my life is over.
Yes.
And I told her I was sad for her. You know, yeah. I think it's an acceptable choice to make if you're actually really making a choice.
Well, maybe if she just has never had good foreplay or intercourse, you know, that can be a problem. Yes, I feel sorry for her. I was lucky enough to have enjoyed the years that I had with great memories. But like I said, there's still, I mean, just affection and cuddling and spooning and all those things that just to be have that skin to skin contact with another human being is very healthy. And I'm happy with romance only because that's exactly what you can do. You know, it doesn't have to just be dinner or hopefully you get to go to dinner, but I don't know. I just think it's we all as humans, no matter what your choice is, need human contact. And they've proven that through the centuries.
Tons of research.
You have all your biological needs and you really need that tactile touch, and affection makes you much happier and healthier and a warmer person.
It is very difficult over the last 20 years as casual touch has become more and more of a difficulty because all casual touch gets branded with coercion and non-consensual touch when it isn't always. But
right.
Because of fears, casual yes. touch has become a minefield. So, you know, people don't hug as often and people don't kiss as often and they don't stand as close to each other. And people really do ail when they don't have physical contact. And so the rates of that level of issue have risen because more people are getting to a stage in life where they stop having physical contact if they lose a mate and they don't get back out in the world if they didn't have children. So we see people are being encouraged to get pets, get dogs, yes. because that allows them some tactile affection, which is yes. really important.
Yes, I completely agree. And especially with the generation of technology, people on their phones constantly, they're, you know, they text and don't talk. so forget about touching. They're silently communicating.
Yes, I never will understand that. But I think that's because I am older. I can't understand sitting in the same room and texting someone. I understand texting someone from upstairs so I don't have to walk downstairs. That makes perfect sense. But I do not understand texting somebody I'm in the same room with. Unless I'm telling a secret because I'm in a room full of people and I want to
yes.
tell a secret, then I could understand.
Right.
So how big is the website? How many people come and engage?
We're, I think the membership is around 13,000.
Nice.
So it's definitely growing. I think I still, again, use the word being brave because some people will come on the website, they'll join. And they're so used to having like match.com and you have, you know, all these thousands of options. And, you know, on romance only, a lot of people just aren't brave to stay on the website. And I think, that person that just quit in Maine, there could be a girl that just was on the website two blocks away and you quit too soon, you know? So that's kind of been an area that we're really trying to work on you know, again, get people to be brave and just put, you know, put yourself out there. And even if you put a picture of your dog, put a nice bio or something there, you know, and talk to somebody and, you know, show them your picture later if you don't want to your picture on that.
Do you have, are they kind of choose people and interact one-to-one or are there group conversations as well? Or
we don't have a forum where there's group conversations.
I didn't think so.
We've talked about doing that, but you kind of have to monitor that whole thing, you know?
You do.
Depending on what people do. And then, you know, you always have the scammers on the website and some of the things they say are just unbelievable. So
yeah.
We haven't quite gotten to that point, but I think that would be a great avenue to do and share because people can talk about their ailments. Like if there is a chat room for, you know, men that have these issues or whether it's health issue or as you know, it could be an accident, a car accident, or a woman that, you know, it's just had grown up terribly in sexual abuse. You know, she does getting close to her is, you know, really difficult. So maybe she could talk to other women and how they kind of overcame that. I think that'd just be a great thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, I do think you do need to monitor them because there are people who will come on and say and do some horrific things that will, you know, just really negatively impact.
Oh yeah. I don't want
already vulnerable folks.
Yeah, I don't want to hurt anybody. That's exactly, that's, and the interesting thing about the thing I've discovered on my website is, you know, some people are really angry, you know, they're very angry about being in the situation, especially if it was something that happened suddenly, you know, it's like trying to get them to accept that, you know, it's happened to you, it's happened to all these other people too. So embrace that and ask what you're supposed to be learning, and you just got to go with it. There are a lot of other things to make you happy besides just that one thing you're missing.
Well, I think anger is, you know, and anger is one of the stages that comes along the route to acceptance. And because you're grieving, because that's what happens. You know, if you lose bodily function, you have to grieve that. You have to grieve that former you.
Yes.
And so some people get stuck at that anger phase and cannot move any further because they're still so terribly angry about the blow that they've been dealt. I mean, I would imagine that younger people, those who are younger and find themselves unable to have intercourse, would be more likely to be feel more cheated and more angry than somebody who's older. Not that they wouldn't feel cheated or angry, but just the idea of the time of life and what they expected to be doing.
I found, actually just in my own discovery in my mind mostly, that I wonder so much about the young military, you know, like mm-hmm. you were saying, the younger people, you know, it's like for them, a young male at 25, that's their huge part of their whole world.
Yeah.
And if you take that away, I'm wondering if the suicide rate it has gone up because of that. You know, they say that X amount of those young men, you know, commit suicide. And I think, you know, they're not going to have a family. They lost their leg. They can't have intercourse. And, you know, that age mentality, yeah, they probably do think their life is over. What do they have to live for, you know, just because they don't understand the bigger picture, you know?
I mean, certainly it is more difficult for younger men. And I have some experience working with military veterans. One of the veterans I worked with for quite a long time actually had an injury to his penis, and his penis had to be rebuilt. And so he struggled a lot with how much function he could have versus how much function he had previously had and what it took in order for him to function and how he looked and what women would think when they saw him and if they would think something horrible or if they'd reject him. And also the fact that although he had still had some fertility because he still maintained one functioning testy. Mm-hmm. He was unlikely to be able to impregnate through ordinary intercourse.
Right.
So the idea that he was going to have to go through the whole IVF and stuff if he decided to have children at some point. And he was without a partner when this happened. So, you know, finding a partner and all of that. And it was incredibly difficult.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming. But again, it's the conversation. The more, if they're online and find a chat room or something available and realize that they're not alone, that is so helpful. It's like, wow, people, when you tell about my website, they're like, I had no idea. I said, I know people don't talk about it, but we're all fragile. And for so many reasons, I'll go through a list of things and people are amazed. They just would never think that car accidents,
what else?
Horse injuries. Mm-hmm. People don't realize. I always thought that like men played baseball, they had that protective part over themselves because it would hurt. And I learned that no, you injure that and it's done. It's not going to perform anymore. I had no idea, but Peyronie's disease, whether you're born with it or you end up with it. Women with painful intercourse or vulvodynia,
yep,
would be similar to, like you were mentioning, the menopause and pain.
Although you can get vulvodynia at any time in your life.
Right. But all these ailments, these little ailments, so there's a huge list of them, people have no idea. They doesn't cross their mind.
So yeah, until something happens, and then there's very little information out there about what to do, how to deal with this, or how to start over.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like the more people are having a conversation, you know, you're talking about it over there, I'm talking about it, I'm doing this, you know, website. There was a day when no one talked about being gay, and the more they talked about it, and the more, now it's like everyday deal. It's like, oh, well, okay. Go to romance only. You can find someone there. Don't worry about it. You know, I really look forward to that day, seeing that day, that it's just, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't know you had that wrong. Have you seen romance only? Just, you'd be fine. There's thousands of people on there.
Yeah, no, that would be great, where people are actually willing to disclose that and know that there are resources out there for to be able to connect, which is really what you're wanting to encourage, that connection.
Exactly. Yeah. I just think it's a great thing. And for so many different reasons. I had a lady in the Middle East that with their culture, once they lost their partner, that it was, they were to never have intercourse again. She wanted a relationship, but she was so happy to stumble upon romance only because she could. And it was a cultural thing. And so she was looking for someone that had the same culture. It was great. I love the internet anyway. So,
it has done some amazing things, opened up some amazing worlds. It's one of the positive sides of the internet is allowing people to connect who would not otherwise have been able to do so. And to be then become and feel a part of again, rather than feeling isolated, and like they're the only one who has a problem.
Right.
So if people want to find you, how do they go about doing that?
You can enter into the URL romanceonly.com. There's different other things. If you enter, you know, love without intercourse, you'll probably stumble upon my website as well.
So I am going to put the link in the podcast notes. And are you on social media? Can they follow you?
Yes. Yes, I am on social media. It's all under Romance Only or at Romance Only.
And I'll have those links on the podcast notes as well. So if people want to follow you and see what you're developing and if there's any news, any new things come up, or if you get to a place where you decide to add forums. And I'd encourage people to check out this site. And I noted that Laura B is offering free membership for all current and former armed forces or military veterans from all nations.
Yes.
So if you're listening to the show and you have done some military service for whatever country, you are eligible for a free membership on romanceonly.com, and I encourage you to take that up.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's really, really nice to talk to you and meet you finally, and you're doing a great job, great work for you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And thank you all for joining me for the A to Z of Sex this week. Please write to me with any suggestions you have for the show and any questions you want answered at drloribeth@azofsex.com. That's drloribeth @azofsex.com. Do follow me on Twitter and Instagram, where I am at Dr. Bisbee. That's BISBEY. And follow me on Facebook and check out my YouTube channel. If you would like a free 30-minute discovery session with me, head over to https://the-intimacy-coach.com and go to the contact page to click on my calendar and schedule directly. All of these links are in the podcast notes. And finally, if you enjoy the show, please leave me a review on iTunes and or Stitcher, and join me next week for the letter I, when we are going to be talking about interest. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for tuning in. You were just listening to The A to Z of Sex. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a review here on iTunes and make sure you head over to www.atozofsex.com. That's A-T-O-Z-O-F-S-E-X. To subscribe to my free newsletter to help you keep your sex life sizzling. Stay tuned for upcoming weekly episodes as we work our way through the sexual alphabet to discover the wide world of sex, sexuality, desire, and intimacy. Knowledge gives you the power to create relationships that bring you satisfaction and joy. Hope to see you next week.